came in, he looked at him. No, he's not going to be king. 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 And he went right down the line. And he got to the end, and I'm sure Samuel was thinking, I made a mistake, or God made a mistake. And he asked David's father, do you have any more sons? He said, yeah, I have one. But he's out in the field tending the sheep. Call him in. And Donovan said, you know, his father thought so little of him that how possibly one day this young boy could be the king. But in our story here today, we see Saul, who was anointed the first king. They're looking for him. And they say, where is Saul? And it says he had hid himself among the baggage. And the nation was looking for a leader at that time. Someone who would stand up. Someone who would be a head taller than everybody else and say, follow me. But instead of standing up, he hid. And I use that scripture as I begin to meditate on, because though we see here in the natural, he went and he hid, we do the same thing in the spiritual realm. We have been called to lead. It might be in your family. It might be in the community as a coach or as a sponsor of some group or at the workplace. But instead of taking that mantle of leadership, we would rather go and hide among the baggage. And as I showed this and I looked at this, I thought, how many men and women are hiding among the baggage today? Because we don't want that mantle. We don't want that responsibility. We don't want to be singled out and put into that role. And I said earlier that God's not looking for some champion to rise up on the scene. He's looking for ordinary men and women that are going to say, finally, this is enough. I've had enough of this. God, here I am. Use me. And with God's anointing and with his empowerment of the Holy Spirit and with his direction, there are great things that we can accomplish. Amen. I mean, we could go around this room and just talk about some of the things, some of the doors. I'll use Sammy, for example. He's not here today. Sammy, when he got over to Henry Ford Community College, Felicia was the head of that Christian club. And she was moving on to something else. She wanted to turn it over. And Sammy, he wasn't even there the prior semester. But he took that thing, and he began to run with it. And all of a sudden, doors began to open up. Next thing you know, he's talking to the Muslim Association. Debates are going on. He's bringing young guys to church here, talking to them, all from the Muslim community. All of a sudden, another door gets open in the Muslim community. All of a sudden, another one. It's like a community that, you know, is very difficult to make inroads into. But because Sammy was willing to say, Lord, here I am, use me, boom, all these doors begin to open. And God is looking for men and women today who don't want to hide among the baggage, but want to come out and take their rightful place, the place that God has ordained for them. If you'd asked Saul, Saul would have said, no, I don't want it. But Saul had no choice in the matter. How many of you know you don't have a choice in the matter? You know, we come in here, we sing all the time, but it's time to roll up the sleeves, say, God, here I am. Open some door. Push me through it. How was it possible within 40 years after the ascension of Christ to heaven that common men changed the face of the entire Roman Empire? 12 or, I mean, look at the backgrounds. Fishermen, tax collectors, just common men. But they were touched by God in such a powerful and profound way, it began to change everything. And so I want to look at the baggage today that we might be hiding behind or in, because there's a lot of it. And we got to understand that. You know, yesterday John Clinton gave a message on leadership at the men's breakfast, and I really enjoyed that. And as he was reading it, this kind of just jumped out at me. I said, let's look at some of the baggage that we're willing to hide behind so that we're not going to be called out and put into a particular position. How many are willing today to escape that baggage? You know, we're going to Mexico. One of the things, we go on that trip, and when we get out of that airport, there's baggage there. Because we got 24 people, 23 people, and everybody brings two or three bags, and you've got guitar cases and puppet ministry, and it's like a sea of bags. I'm thinking, how are we going to get this all on the bus? And you got different color bags, and you got different sizes bags, and different bags for this and for that. And we need to look at it and say, God, what is the baggage that I'm hiding behind? Because I want to fulfill what you've called me to. Let's just go down a list here. I'm going to give you a few here today. We don't know what this baggage was. They were actually supplies for the camp. But one of the bags that we'll hide behind, sometimes our self-confidence or pride. Now we're going to turn in the scripture to a few of these scriptures. I'll turn with me, Matthew chapter 19. And if they can flash that up there, verse 20 says this. I can get to it. Matthew 19, verse 20. Let me back up a little bit. Verse 16, now a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which one, the man inquired? Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself. Notice his answer. All these things I have kept, the young man said. And so he had this great confidence in his righteousness. And you see, there's a lot of people that hide in their own self-righteousness. I don't have to do that. I don't have to go there. Somebody else will take care of that. I'm needed here. It's maybe some type of minor thing. I can't tell you, when I start asking people to go on a mission trip, how many excuses I get. Right, Donna? Not that you ever give me an excuse. Poor Donna goes and she wants to stay permanently. She purposely leaves her passport on the plane. Pastor, I don't want to let you down. I know, Donna, you never let me down. But our own self-confidence. There's nothing worse than walking in a situation in your own confidence in pride. I guarantee you're going to get shot down. It's going to happen. But we'll hide among that sometimes. We don't have to prepare because I've read the Bible a couple times. I know it. I don't have to pray. God will move. He's sovereign. And all these different things begin to come in. But a lot of times that will keep us from walking in that humility. You know, the Bible says that God exalts what? The humble, but brings down the proudful. And so we got to be a people, if we're going to walk in what God has called us to walk in, and maybe impact situations like we saw up there with those young girls being sold all over the world in the sex trade. Maybe it's because we've got to humble ourselves and say, God, you know what? Here I am. Use me. I don't know nothing about this. You know, when Sammy called me for that debate over at Henry Ford, I thought I was going to be debating some, you know, local yokel from the Muslim mosque over there. You know? And first thing I find out is they bring in some guy in from the United Kingdom. And so I'm like, wow, well, they bring in the big shots. They're bringing in the, you know, you kind of get intimidated a little bit. And I'm thinking, wow, they're bringing in this guy. This guy's an expert. And I looked up his name, and this guy debated all over the world. And I'm kind of, oh, what am I getting myself into? Sammy, you know, I thought this was just going to be some average Joe, you know. I wiped the floor with this guy. And he had to back out, and they bring this other guy in. He came in from Virginia, and he himself he debates on behalf of Islam. But it was still kind of intimidating. But I said, you know what, God? I can't go into my own strength. I can't go into my own wisdom. I'm just going to humble myself. You tell me what you want me to do. Because, I've done debates, I've done this, but this might be out of my league. I feel like David, you know, like I can't go in these, you know, the armor. And I said, give me a couple rocks. I'll throw a few rocks at him and see if I can hit him upside the head, kind of throw him off his game a little bit. But there's so many times, like this rich young man, we think we've got it all together. And we've got to walk humbly with our God. Amen? And when you think you stand, what? Beware, lest you fall. And we don't want to fall, but we want to impact situations, whether it's this or orphans or even in our own neighborhoods. You know, I talk about going down and coaching down there at Detroit Western. That wasn't even something I was looking for. I just got a call one day. And next thing you know, boom. Doors opening, boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, God, I need about 500 more people because I can't do all this. You got to send somebody down here to work with the Clark Park Association. You got to send somebody down here to work with the Mexican Council. You got to send somebody down here to work with the various organizations. And God began bringing people across my path that could do it. They were just ordinary people that said, here I am, use me. So we see here this rich young ruler. He was hiding behind that baggage of self-confidence and pride. I've kept all these. What else? What other kind of baggage? What other kind of suitcases over there? How about the baggage of fear? Any of us ever hide behind fear? Let's look at somebody who did. Matthew 8, 23. Go on back a few chapters here. You know the story, verse 23. Then he got into the boat with his disciples, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping, and the disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. A baggage of fear. How many times have we been paralyzed because we've been afraid to do something or say something? Tony, I hope you don't mind if I use you, and even if you do, I'm going to use you, okay? So, like, you got no choice in the matter. No, you don't. Tony learned real quick, didn't you? Tony came down one day. I've invited a lot of people that graduated from Detroit Western or grew up in that area down there to come down there and share their testimony with the young girls that I'm coaching. And so Tony showed up, and Mark Hogan and I, we were out kind of getting all stuff ready on the field. And usually what we do is we go over and we start our practice with about a 5-10 minute meeting. And so Tony, she kind of went over. She's sitting in the bleachers, and all the girls are sitting there. And I'm thinking, well, that's kind of nice, Tony, you know. That's kind of cool. She's just kind of going over there waiting for me to come and introduce her to the group there. And so Mark and I, we're putting this stuff on. I come back over there. I said, well, I'd like to introduce you to Tony. And the girl said, she already told us all about herself, coach. I go, she did. I didn't even introduce her. And she's telling me, you know, before that, I'm afraid. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. So I had her stand up again. I said, well, tell more about yourself, because I didn't get to hear the first part. Okay? I wanted to hear it. I didn't bring them down for the kids. I wanted to hear it. And she got up there and she shared her story, and the kids were like, yeah, they were appreciative, weren't they? In fact, God had laid one of the young girls on her heart. She approached me afterwards and said, you know, I just had a real burden for this one girl. I said, pray for her, and you know, and we'll see what comes of it. But she thought she was done. Big mistake. And she said, well, Pastor, thank you for having me down there. And she kind of turned to walk. I said, wait, Tony, come here. Before we practice, we pray. And you're going to pray for us today. And you could see, it was like, oh, no. I did what you asked, Pastor. I shared my testimony with the girls. That's it. And the storm began to blow. Rain began to come down. Earth began to shake. And Tony, I'm not kidding you, this is what she did. She was standing there. She goes, Okay. And she began to pray. And I'm like, hey, I got to practice today, okay, Tony? Let's speed things up here. And she went on for a 3 or 4 minute, a beautiful prayer. And I'm not kidding. I was like, you know, tearing up like, that is exactly it. Here she was. She was afraid to do it. Fear had gripped her. It wasn't something she wanted to do. But she was being obedient to what she was asked to do. And when she came over, the girl, like I said, and some of you others have been down there. You've come down there and ministered already to them. You know what they're like. Very attentive. And as she stuck around and she kind of watched a little bit of the practice. But I was like proud. I was like, that's exactly what God wants to see us all do. Just say, God, here I am. I might be afraid. You know, those disciples in that boat, when that storm kicked up, they were afraid, weren't they? And there's going to be storms that will kick up in your life. And the question is, how are you going to look at them? Are you going to look at that storm and say, you know what, I got God on my side, and I can conquer this thing, not in my own strength, but through His leading, through His anointing. And it's amazing with the situations that God will put us in and the opportunities that we will have. You know, Raquel, I think she went upstairs. I don't see her. Where'd she go? She went down to Clark Park today. I like that. Okay? That's being in the spot. But as I said the other day at the Bible study, she was talking about how she was intimidated. She was in a grocery store, and she was just like, I don't know how to go up to her. And I'm giving, you know, here's Pastor Don. Let me tell you how it's done. You just walk up there, you know, start a conversation. Hey, nice veil you have, you know. Believe it or not, and you go, yeah, you probably have. Not 10 minutes later, I'm standing in the store, 7-Eleven, and in come two or three of them, with the headgear and all that. And I could just see there was this just like this intimidation that nobody wanted to speak to him. And even I was like, I go, no, listen, you know, doctor, practice what you preach here. And so I went over and I started a conversation, just breaking, and you could see just that wall just melt down. And I thought, we have got to be, you know, the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. Hey, we want to reach these people, don't we? We can't go and say, you know what, I don't want to touch them. I don't want to talk to them. You'd be amazed at how we'll hide among that baggage of fear and be rendered obsolete or inactive. Let's look on. How about the baggage of current circumstances? Matthew chapter 14, verse 25 through 33. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It is a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." He looked at the situation that was around him, his current situation, and couldn't see any way out. And I couldn't blame him. For somebody walking on the water, you know, and all of a sudden waves are hitting and wind's blowing, you're going to be distracted. But as long as his focus was on Christ, he could do what? He could walk on that water. He could do something he never imagined, which is humanly, which is physically impossible. But all things are possible with God. All things are possible to him who believes. And so we don't want to hide behind that baggage of our present circumstances. Well, you know, God, I can't minister to that person right because, you know, I don't have the finances, or I just don't have the knowledge, or I don't have the time, or I don't have this or that. We look at all the things. I got to take care of this. I got to do this. And those things are important. Don't get me wrong. But there comes a time where the work of the kingdom supersedes everything. Amen. So what is the circumstance? Is there a current situation that's keeping you back in that luggage? Keeping you from walking out and say, "Here I am. Let the anointing fall upon me. Put the crown upon me. Give me the mantle of leadership so that I can go and do what God has called me to do." Let me give a couple more here. How about the baggage of insufficiency? These are all things. These are all excuses. John 6:8. Over to John 6:8. Let's see what he says here. Baggage of insufficiency. You ever feel you're insufficient for a particular task? Like I said, Tony, I'm sure that went through her head. Like, you know what? I'm just a person. Pastor Don, you're better at this. You know these girls. But she did it. Let's see it's somebody else who thought that they weren't sufficient or there wasn't sufficient supplies. John 6:8 says this. Let me back up a little bit. Verse 5, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him. I like that. A great crowd come. There's a great crowd that's always coming towards him. Amen? How are we going to meet their needs? And they had a need at this point. Toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" And he asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon, Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" He looked at the situation. We have insufficient resources to address this problem. But like I said, Jesus already knew what he was going to do. When I went for this debate, I had insufficient resources. I had never did this. I didn't know how this guy was going to attack. There's stuff all over the internet. I'm trying to get some idea, some type of strategy that when I went into this debate, how am I going to attack this? What am I going to do? All of a sudden, the phone rings, some guy out of Chicago. He goes, "My name is Sam Samaroon." I go, "Okay, that's nice." He goes, "I understand you're going to be in a debate." "Yeah, yeah." He says, "I'm from an organization called Answering Islam." Have you ever heard of me? I go, no. He goes, I can't believe it. You're going to be in a debate with a Muslim and you never heard of my organization. I go, man, I'm sorry. I'm a busy guy. You know, I don't sit around surfing the net all day, okay? And he says, I want to send you some information, may be able to help you. These guys, he tells me, these guys, I have a debate. I have a standing offer to debate them anywhere in the world, but they'll never take me up. And I'm going, God, what did I get myself into? This guy's like an expert, you know, and I'm thinking, these guys coming in. And so he sent me the information. When I saw it, I had recognized his site. I just didn't recognize his name. So I typed him up a little email, you know, sent it to him, said, hey, I'm sorry. Yes, I've been to your site before. I don't know who you are, but at least I've used your information. He sent me all this stuff, very valuable, and it was right exactly with what I was planning. In fact, he asked me, he says, well, how are you planning to do this debate? And I told him, A, B, C, and D. He goes, that's exactly what you need to do. And it was just a confirmation. But in myself, it was just like I felt insufficient. We had the opportunity to meet this guy last week. He was out in Southfield. They tape a television show out there called Jesus and Mohammed. And I tell you what, it's very informative. This guy comes in once a month, and they sit down, they take calls from all over. I don't know if it's all over the world. It's definitely all over the Western Hemisphere. And this guy, Sam, he was part Chaldean and part Syrian. And, I mean, he was knowledgeable. And I just sat there for 2 hours like, God, I love this. I love to hear somebody who knows the word. And he's just quoting chapter and verse. But he knew a lot more about Islam than I did. And so when the callers called in, I'd encourage you to go there. We do need to prepare ourselves. We, you know, not that we're going to have all knowledge on these topics, but we can provide. And like I said, we don't have to walk in that kind of spirit of insufficiency. What's another one? How about the baggage of past failures? John chapter 21. Familiar story with all us. Peter. Jesus speaking to him. When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt. Well, we all know why he was hurt. Why? Because Peter ran his mouth. Peter had told Jesus, even though everybody else deserts you, even though everybody else runs away, I will stay, and if it comes to it, I'll die with you. And Jesus said, Peter, I hate to inform you, but before the night's over, you're going to deny me 3 times. I'll never do that. We know the story. He did it, didn't he? And so here Jesus confronts Peter and he says, do you love me, Peter? Yeah. Do you love me, Peter? Yeah. Third time, do you love me? Yeah. And it says Peter was hurt. Why? Because Jesus was making him deal with that situation where he denounced him, that fear. Where he turned back at that moment when he needed to take a stand. And so we see that Peter himself hid himself. But we know what happened with Peter. He got restored, didn't he? And Peter became one of the greatest apostles, one of the greatest evangelists like Paul that the world's ever seen. And you see, we see their failures. We see their blemishes. And we have them too. We know each other. But that doesn't mean that God can't use us, right? Two more, and we'll wrap it up here. It was the baggage of past failures. Do you have past failures in your life? I mean, that's probably one of the things Pastor John will tell you. Hey, when you fail, you don't want to get up there and try again. You know, I tried that, Pastor. I'm just no good at it. Pastor, I failed miserably. I was embarrassed. I was humiliated. Do it again. Nikki. See, that's the way a Greek says Nikki. Wave your hand there, Nikki, so everybody looking around like, who's Nikki? Nikki went on a mission trip with us last year, and Nikki says, I want to do a song. And she came in and she did the song, and I've told this story before. And when she did it the first time, it was like, ugh. But you could tell she had a good voice. The problem was she lacked confidence in herself getting up on a stage and doing it. And it was just required some training and some motivation and doing it over and over and over again. I said, you want to do this song, Nikki? I said, you're going to have to practice it. Then Donna called me. She says, hey, all she does is walk around the house singing that song. From sun up to sundown, it was, you know, one song. How many times did you come in here to practice that song with me and with Carol? A lot. And I bet after every time you sang it, I said, Nikki, you did a great job. Right? I never said that. Until, you what? She did a great job. And she just developed. It was like, listen, she could have said, you know what? I didn't sing it very good. She'd walk up into the fellowship hall. I said, Nikki, come here. Do your song. Right here, Pat? Yeah, right here. But Pastor, do your song, Nikki. Then I do that to you. Ray's going, nah, I'm just glad, and Carmen's going, I'm glad I don't sing, man, because he made me do it. But she did it, and each time she did it, you could see confidence grow and grow and grow. And when we went down there, even actually the Sunday before we went down there, we do a Mission Sunday thing, and she goes up on stage, and she sang that. I mean, I was bawling. I like, I cannot believe this. And everybody came up, and they're like, I can't believe Nikki's voice. It was incredible. I said, that's the exact word that I used the first time I heard her sing. It was incredible. And I would kid her about it. But it was like, oh my gosh. I mean, it was like an operatic voice. And I looked at her, I'm like, I cannot believe it. Am I lying, Esther? We are down there in Mexico. I mean, I was like a proud dad. Next up on the list, Nikki. Do your thing, Nikki. You know. And she'd go out there and just belt it out. Incredible. But probably the most incredible time I heard her sing this song is when we actually got back from Mexico. And we went down to a little church. They invited us to go down there to do a mission, kind of a report for them. And now Nikki had done the song, and we're down in the basement. I said, Nikki, doing your song. And she stepped out there, and she was fantastic when we were on the trip and before the trip. But when she got back, I'm like, oh, my God, she had to be on American Idol. That's how good she sounded. But it would have been very easy for Nikki to say, you know what? I don't want to do this. I just felt uncomfortable. I was intimidated by looking at everybody. But she did it. And she did it. And she did it. An incredible gifting came forth because she persisted in it. You see, we're going to fail a lot. We're going to do it. You know, Babe Ruth, you know, they go, hey. They said, one time they're asking Babe Ruth, they said, hey, Babe. They go, you strike out a lot. He goes, I strike out a lot because I swing big. And I like that. Take your cut. Get in there and swing it. If you hit it, it's going to go a long way. And if you don't, get in there and swing again. These girls that I have down there at Western, when I saw them hit the first time, it was bad. One girl's up there and she's got her hands crossed the wrong way. And I'm like, oh my God, has she ever played before in her life? And she's swinging like, you know, like she's chopping wood or something. Till the last game, she got up there, and she's, and we do a thing called a little slap, and she ran up and slapped it, and beautiful. I mean, textbook. And she's out there in the field, second base, and I'm yelling, hey, that was beautiful. That was exactly how you, and you could just see her just like bouncing around on the base, you know. I mean, she was, you know, she had no idea what she, I said, stay on the base, they're going to call you out. Okay, you know how to hit, but you don't know how to run bases yet. Stay on the base. Take one step at a time, you know. You got to walk before you can run. But we can hide behind that baggage of failures. Don't let failure stop you. Every one of those apostles, every one of them failed because they what? They all deserted him at one time, didn't they? Yes, they did. And how many times have we failed them? But thank God for his mercy, his grace, for his second chances, a third chance, where he'll say, you know what? You screwed up, but I'm still going to use you. We don't understand his plan sometimes. God, why are you using me? Somebody more qualified. Yeah, but I've chosen you. And that's God's own sovereign will, why he would do that. All right, let's look at the last one here. And I had more, but just for the sake of time, I'm just going to skip over them. Finally, the baggage of spiritual identification, Matthew 10, verse 32. The baggage of spiritual identification. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Maybe the biggest part of the baggage is that we are embarrassed to be identified as a follower of Jesus Christ. And that has kept us from walking in what God has called us to do. And this is a problem, unfortunately, with the church worldwide. We love to come to church. We love to sing our song. We love to go in fellowship and do that. But once we go outside, aren't you a Christian? I go to church, and how we back up. And we have got to be there. You know, Jesus said, let your light so shine that it what illuminates the entire house. And we've got to come out from amongst that baggage and say, God, I'm willing to be identified with you. I went over to Guzman's house last night. You know, we talk about coincidences, and we joke about it all the time because God brings people across our path. And as I'm getting out of my van, this truck pulls up. There's a young guy I knew. And he coached with me 1 year, and he's got a heart condition. I was a year older than Mark and Phil. And he goes, Coach, I've been looking for you. And I'm thinking to myself, what if I came 10 seconds earlier, I'd be in the backyard? What if I was another 10 seconds late, he'd already been home? But it was right on time. Now, the funny thing was, I was sitting over there, and I told Luce, I says, Luce, I got to run over and check on my father. Normally, I would just stay there and, you know, have coffee or what have you and talk with him. But I got up, went over to my dad's house, was there for a certain amount of period of time, got out, got back in my van, drove over there, and as soon as I got out, boom, he pulls up. And he goes, I've been wanting to talk to you. He says, I've really been thinking about my life. He says, I've been meaning to come to church, but every Sunday I have an excuse. And there's a possibility he's got a heart, congestive heart failure, where I think he told me he had 24% usage of his heart. That his heart was, and there's nothing, they put a pacemaker in there, but they don't know how long that's going to help him. And here's a young guy, you looked at him, he was a tackle, he was a big guy. And I looked at him, I said, do you remember in that Bible release class I used to tell you this? This class will be the most important class that you're ever going to have. He goes, Coach, I remember that. I said, well, you need to come see me tomorrow or get down during the week and we'll have a coffee. I said, I want to explain to you what it means to identify yourself, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Are we willing to take that stand? Because I'll tell you what, it's not a popular stand, and more the world's laughing at you. Just go on the internet and look at some of these talk sites. Go to one of the atheist websites or go to one of the Muslim sites and read what they say about Christians. And if you think it's getting better, no. That's why God's saying it's time for my people to get out from behind the luggage. And if you read the rest of it, I'm going to encourage you. I'm just going to sum it up briefly. They sent a couple men to grab Saul. He didn't come of his own volition. You see, sometimes you need somebody to encourage you, somebody to walk with you, to escort you into the presence of where God wants you to be. Thank God for spiritual fathers and mothers that are willing to grab hold of young men and young women and say, let me walk with you. Let me be a parent to you. Let me show you how to do this. Let me disciple you. And then when they brought him before the entire nation, it said he was a head taller than everybody else. You see, we've got to be willing to stand up and be seen, don't we? God is not calling us to scrounge around in the corner like some cockroach. He's calling us to stand forth and boldly proclaim the message of the kingdom. And then he said this. Prophet Samuel said, hear, O Israel, this man is your king. He had never led them before. But he made a prophetic declaration. And something burned into the heart of to Saul where he began to realize, I'm the king. God has put me here. I've got a mission. I've got a job to do. And he accepted that. Now, we know what happened to him down the road, but he accepted it at that time. And he started off on a very good foot. What is the prophetic call? What is the word that's been spoken to you that God is saying, here's my man, here's my woman for the hour. Here's the person that's going to lead you. Maybe it's against the child sex slave. Maybe it's against some type of blight in your neighborhood. Maybe it's against some type of corruption in schools or in city government. He'll take that passion that you have and say, God, here I am. Use me. Let's get out from amongst the baggage. And I was just thinking about this. We need to be like Lazarus. You know, Lazarus was dead, wasn't he? Tied up. But Jesus yelled out, "Lazarus, come out." And they rolled away that stone. And out came the dead man. And he was bound up. And I like what Jesus says, to take the death clothes off him. Let's remove the baggage. Let's take the death clothes off so that we can walk in fellowship with Christ and be identified with him and do whatever it is that he's called us to do. Amen? Amen. If I could have the prayer team come up, we're going to close here in prayer. Maybe there's other things in your life that you thought about. You know, I've got some type of baggage there, Pastor. There's an issue that I'm dealing with. I know that I need prayer for. I need to lay that thing aside so that I can walk in the rightful calling that God has called me. Let that be between you and God today. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, I want to be identified with Christ. Maybe you're not a believer. You know, in the few minutes we have here, we're not going to take the time here, but we will be more than happy to sit down with you and to share with you and to talk to you about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus told people, he said, don't just make that quick decision. Sit down and consider the cost. Maybe there's those here today that you have some type of special need. Somebody's sick. Somebody's going through something. You can stand in for them and just get prayer. Because God will move for those that humble themselves and just cry out to him. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory and honor. We thank you for this day. And I pray, Father, that we as your people would not hide among the baggage. But Lord, that we would come forth to take that place. I pray like Lazarus as he came forth, Lord, and he was freed up. He was once again reestablished with relationship and fellowship with you. And Lord, became a testimony to your great power. I pray, Father, that you would just continue to birth upon each one of our hearts the various things that you would have us get involved with. Lord, all we can cry out is like Isaiah, here we are, use us today for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.